the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. And we'll just reread. I know we just got done reading this, but we'll reread verses 17 to 20. Just a couple of verses. Now this is about the shepherds here. When they had seen it, speaking of the angelic host, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that they had heard, and all they that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want to preach to you this morning on celebrating the Advent. And I do not mean how to celebrate Christmas. Because we all know how to celebrate Christmas, okay? You go put a tree up, you decorate it, you put stockings up in your home, you decorate your front porch, you bake cookies, you buy gifts, you wrap them. That's how you celebrate Christmas, okay? We know how to do that. And I'm not speaking of, when I say how to celebrate the Advent, I'm not talking about I don't think we've ever done it, but like a month of Advent with a little calendar and little doors you open up. And I don't know all about how people celebrate the Advent 12 days or whatever it is, but I'm not talking about that either. But I am going to preach to you this morning on how that we can, if we are truly interested, and if we really do want to celebrate the first Advent or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you four ways that you can do it. And all four of these ways are found in our text. Now, everybody celebrates Christmas differently. For most people in the world, it's a 99% secular holiday. Okay? For most people in the world, it's just 99% secular holiday. Maybe with a passing reference to the baby Jesus, maybe. For most people, it's about traditions. Decorated trees and homes, giving and receiving gifts, holiday food and drink, family and friends, maybe a little Santa Claus and reindeer. That's how most people celebrate Christmas. For some others, it's all about those things with a moderate emphasis on the birth of Christ. Maybe they have a candlelight service or Christmas Eve service in their church. Maybe a Christmas cantata in their church. Maybe they have a manger scene in their front yard or somewhere in their home. And some even go so far as to make a banner and put it up in their home that says, "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And others I know have made a cake and wrote "Happy Birthday, Jesus" on the cake. But the text before us gives us four ways that we can truly, genuinely, purely celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we can truly serve God and celebrate the birth of His Son. Okay? Now, I'm not here to poo-poo on your Christmas traditions. Not at all. Okay? I've got a long history with Christmas, and my position has changed over the years. Some of you are familiar with that. But I'm not here to down your traditions or anything along those lines, okay? But what I am here to do this morning is show you four biblical ways that if you want to, you can really celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If, as a Christian, your interest at this time of the year is really celebrating His birth, then this text is for you. Okay? This text is for you. Look at verse number 17. Now, this is a reference to the shepherds, okay? Because the shepherds were in their fields. This angel of the Lord came and spoke to the shepherds. And then the host of angels came and shouted and glorified and sang. And verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, when the shepherds had seen this angelic announcement, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. We see that these shepherds celebrated, literally, they celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by publishing the news of his birth abroad, by publishing these events abroad, by telling everyone they ran into what they had heard and what they had seen and what they had been told about this child, about this newborn baby. This would have been the biggest news of a lifetime. Prophets of old had written and preached concerning the coming Messiah. The kings of Israel had longed for and looked for the coming Messiah, the one that the common man had long prayed for. The common Jewish man and woman and child had long prayed for the coming Messiah, for the Messiah to come. And now he has arrived. This is the biggest news of a lifetime. There's no discovery, no great news greater than this news. No discovery greater than this discovery. These shepherds had seen a host of angels. They had heard the angelic choir. They had been given the news and the details by a great angel of the Lord. They had seen and felt the glory of the Lord round about them. And with their own eyes, they saw then the Lord of the angels, the promised Messiah, the Christ of the covenant. So at first, they had this announcement by an angel of the Lord. And then they saw the Lord of the angels, the Christ of the covenant. They saw the promised Messiah. They had seen God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And they took this most excellent news, this great joyful news. And the Bible says in verse number 17, they spread it abroad. And I take that to mean that they started telling everyone and anyone that they came across as soon as they stepped out of that stable. They just started telling everyone. Because now everyone in this land would have been interested in that. This would be news that would interest everyone in this land. I don't care where they went. These people would have had an interest in this great news. And so when I read verse number 17, it seems to me that just as soon as they said goodbye to Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus and stepped out of that stable, and they began to tell everyone they saw, they spread the news abroad about the Messiah. I say this to you, that if you really genuinely are interested in celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't bake him a cake and don't make him a banner, but tell others about Jesus from heaven. Tell others why he came. Give them an explanation of why Jesus came. Okay? You know, for the great portion of the world, to them, Jesus is, they just can't get beyond that baby in a manger. And they love, everybody loves that baby in a manger. But many people in this world do not understand and know why that baby came. Your talk of Christ, your explanation of Christ, your explanation of the baby that came, was born in Bethlehem, should always lead to the cross and then to the empty tomb. Rehearsing the story of Christ to the church is good. I don't mind in almost every year, not every year, but almost every year, I've preached an Advent sermon, and I don't mind that. The church needs to hear that. All right, it's something that should be repeated over and over again. No problem there. You can read Luke chapter 2 in your home before any Christmas gifts are open. You can do that. That's a fine thing, a wonderful thing. But this story needs to be proclaimed abroad. Not just here in these four walls, not just at your home on Christmas morning, but this news and this story and this discovery of this baby born in a manger needs to be proclaimed abroad to those who have never heard or to those who have never understood. And again, any talk of the baby in the manger needs to lead to Christ on the cross and then to the empty tomb and then the ascension of Christ into heaven. You may think, well, I'm not really qualified to talk to people about these kind of things. I'm somewhat unlearned, especially when it comes to the Bible. I'm unlearned. Or maybe you think you don't speak very well. You have trouble talking to people about things of this nature. You need to stop for just a moment and consider who it is in verse number 17 that spread abroad the news of the newborn king. These are most certainly unlearned shepherds. Unlearned shepherds. When I think of this, I think of Peter and John preaching the word of God. And it is said about Peter and John that they were what? Ignorant and unlearned men. Okay? Listen, the laboring man didn't spend a lot of time in the classroom and book learning and didn't go to higher education. The laboring man, the carpenter man, the fisherman, the shepherd, these men were for the most part unlearned men, ignorant men. Probably a great portion of them could not read nor write. And yet they spread this news abroad. These men were not typically learned men. And yet, it didn't take a college education for them to spread the news about this newborn babe. Didn't take a seminary degree for them to tell others what they saw. It didn't take a Bible college degree to tell others what they had heard. It didn't take some higher education to tell others what they knew. Listen, you can tell people what you saw, what you heard, and what you know. Amen? You can tell people that. And I wouldn't expect you to tell people much more than that. You shouldn't tell people about things you don't know. What you saw, what you heard, what you know. And if Christ has made a difference in your life, you know that. You've seen that in your own life. And you can tell that. Amen? If you know Jesus Christ through saving faith, if you've been forgiven and born again, if you have a story of conversion, if you have a testimony, then you can tell others how you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really genuinely are interested in celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, you can do it by spreading His story, His message, His gospel far and wide. Wherever you go and whoever you come in contact with, you can celebrate His birth that way. Amen. It's a good way to do it. Or you could bake Him a cake. I'm sure that would really help. Yeah, what's that going to do? That ain't going to do anything. It'll make you and I fat. All right, give us diabetes. You want to celebrate the birth of Christ? Now listen, if you make a cake and put happy birthday Jesus, I've just offended you and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Spread it abroad. Number two, look at verse 18. Now, this is the second way that these celebrated the birth of Jesus. Okay, number one, they told it abroad. They spread it abroad. Number two, verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We see that some celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ with a holy wonder and holy awe and a holy adoration. Now this word wondered, okay? This word wondered means to admire or to marvel or to gaze at, a wonderful thing. It would be like you and me standing at the Grand Canyon and just like, wow. Just stand there in wonderment. Stand there in awe. That's what this word wonder means. It doesn't mean they're scratching their head and saying, I wonder. No. This word wonder means to admire and marvel and gaze at a wonderful thing. The incarnation of God, the manifestation of God in human flesh, God becoming a man, God becoming poor that we might be rich, should put every believer in a state of wonder. Amen. Listen, that Christ would take my place on Calvary, dying for my sins, forgiving me of all my transgressions, should put every believer in a state of wonder and awe and adoration. That God would take me, an enemy, and make me His friend, and give me His name, and put me into His family, and give me an eternal inheritance, should put every believer in a state of wonder. And again, you say, well, what's this got to do with the birth of Christ? That's why He came. That's why He came. He left the riches of heaven, the glory of heaven, the beauty of heaven, came here to this earth, this terrible place filled with sin and wickedness, filled with His enemies. And He came here and became poor so that we might find eternal life and be rich. Not rich in cash and cars, but rich in spiritual things. An inheritance, eternal. There's the wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder as sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. And when they heard about the Messiah being born, they were in awe. They were in holy wonder. They were in adoration. Holy wonder at what God has done in our lives should be very natural to us. That God would send His only begotten Son to a place filled with His enemies. And instead of sweeping them all away in a great destruction, would devise a wonderful plan for their redemption and salvation. That starts with a baby there in a manger. Can you comprehend, brother and sister, what I just said? Sinful man is at enmity with God. Sinful man hates God. Sinful man rebels against God and runs from the presence of God and rejects God. That's sinful man. And yet God sent His Son with His grand design of redemption by the death of His Son. That should, to use modern vernacular, that should blow us away. We should be consumed by the wonder of it all. That God sent His Son born of a virgin there in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, lived the holy life that we couldn't live, that we were supposed to live but couldn't live, lived the life that we failed to live, and then imputed that holy life upon us, and then went to the cross and imputed our sins upon Him. He bore our sins, and we got His holy life. That ought to blow us away. Time and time again, I wonder, why me? Why save me? Why have me be your ambassador, your minister? Why bless me in so many ways that you blessed me? I am nothing and I am unworthy. I stand here before you and I say that. I am nothing. I am unworthy. I shouldn't be saved, let alone His ambassador and minister. And I wonder at that. I'm in awe at that. Maybe you think you deserve to be saved. You're one of the good ones. God just itching to get you. If that's your view, we need to talk. We need to talk. Every Christian should realize God found us in the bottom of a trash bin. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Never lose the wonder of Christ's love for you from the cradle to the cross. Never lose the wonder. And that holy wonder will lead you to holy worship. It will. It will. That holy wonder, that awe, will lead you to holy worship. How did the people in our text celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the shepherds, they went and told it abroad. Those that heard wondered, stood in awe and adoration. Verse number 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We see that some celebrated the birth of Christ with pondering and persevering. Well, at least one, Mary. Possibly others. Hopefully others. Hopefully you. Mary did more than wonder. Mary pondered. So much to think about. So much to muse over. So much to ponder. So much to lock away in her heart and mind. Here at this moment, she ponders the birth of this little baby. And then, now listen, and then here she sits, pondering, meditating on the incredible confirmation that she has received from the shepherds. Have you ever considered that the great display in the heavens by the multitude of angels, the message to the shepherds, the angelic choir praising God, glory to God in the highest, that great heavenly host, that great angelic host, that angel of the Lord proclaiming this message. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that this very well could have and probably was confirmation to Mary that she had just given birth to the Savior, the Christ, the Lord? And as my wife mentioned to me as we were talking about this the other day, confirmation to Joseph as well. I mean, they had both had 9 months early. They had both been told, Mary had been told that she was favored and going to give birth to God's Son. And Joseph had been told that that thing that is in your wife is the Son of God. They have been told 9 months. But you know how we are, and we start to doubt and start to wonder. Now these shepherds come in. And they say, hey, we just saw a great light show. We just heard a great heavenly angelic angel. Listen, this is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. Think about the confirmation that was for Mary. The confirmation for Joseph. Mary just, it was confirmed she had just given birth to the Savior. Maybe she didn't doubt it, maybe just a little, but this was confirmation. The new baby. She has a lot to ponder, a lot to muse on, a lot to think about. And that stands to reason. She's the closest to these events, right? She's at the very center of these events. She's at the center of it all. She's the closest to this child. She's nursing this child. She's holding this child close to her breast. She's at the center of it all. So she ponders these things. Listen, those today that come in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who come near to Jesus, are you listening to me, friend? Listen to me. Listen. Those who come the closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who come near to Jesus, will be engrossed in Him. They will be engrossed with Him. They will have much to ponder and much to lock away in their hearts and minds. Some people are best known at a distance, right? Am I right? Some people are. Years and years and years ago, we had a family that had been coming to the church, I don't remember, 3 or 4 times, 5 times. Seemed to have a real interest in the church. And I said to him one Sunday, I said, hey, let's, why don't you guys, I don't know, we might have been living next door, we probably live next door. So why don't you guys come over maybe next Sunday and have lunch with us and get to know each other. And she immediately shot me down. Absolutely not. Won't do that. No. And I didn't know what to make of that. I mean, just, she didn't hem-haw. And, no, we'll not do that. And I said, well, why? And she said, because if we get to know the pastor personally and find out things about him, and we won't like him, and we won't... In other words, I was best known from a distance, she thought. And they never showed up again. It was just a really weird situation. They never came back. But she just wanted to know her pastor from a distance. And so, some people are best known at a distance. The closer you get, the more flaws you discover. And the less you're likely to like them, maybe. Not so with the lovely Lord Jesus. The closer you get to Him, the more lovely He becomes. Amen. The better we know Him, the more we ponder Him in our hearts and minds. Now, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this because I want you to evaluate yourself this morning. The better we know Him, the closer we are to Christ, the more we ponder Him in our hearts and minds. The closer you come to Christ in love and in fellowship, the more He occupies your heart and mind throughout the day. If you only think of Christ on Sunday while sitting in a pew, that's a bad sign, friend. If your thoughts of Christ are only on Sunday from 10:30 to 11:30, it's a bad sign. For those we love the most, they occupy our hearts. They occupy our minds. This is a fact. This is true. I'm stating a fact. Those that we love the most and those we are closest to, they occupy our hearts and minds throughout the day. Hopefully, that's your spouse. My wife and I send hearts to each other all day long. She sends a pink vibrating heart. I send a blue heart. You know what that tells? That says that she's thinking of me and I'm thinking of her. Well, whoever sends the text first is the one thinking. Hopefully it's your children. Hopefully your children are constantly in your mind and in your heart because you love them, you're close to them. Maybe your grandchildren. Maybe your parents, your siblings. And hopefully, your Savior. Amen. Hopefully your Savior. The thoughts of Christ and His Word should come and go from our minds all day long. And when we're able, we should ponder those thoughts. Consider them. Weigh them. Turn them over and over and muse upon them. And maybe pick them up later and ponder them again. But Christ and His Word should come in and out of your mind all day long. The closer that we are to Him, the more normal that will be. Maybe now you lack the courage to go and tell. Maybe you are timid and you lack the courage to publish and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ far and wide. Maybe you don't have a lot of opportunity to do that. You lack open doors. You're at home most of the day. You can still love Him. You can still bless Him. You can praise Him. You can study Him, ponder Him, immerse yourself in Him and His Word. And you can be like Mary. You can put wonderful spiritual things into your heart and keep them there and ponder them through the day. Now, I'm not giving you excuse to not go and tell. I'm not giving you excuse to not be a witness, but I'm saying that maybe you don't have the open door, maybe you don't have the opportunity, maybe you are very timid. You can at least, like Mary, draw close to Christ and ponder Him and immerse yourself in Him and love Him and praise Him and adore Him. Mary wasn't out running the hillsides of Israel telling everybody. She was kind of, locked in place here. She had a newborn baby. She couldn't go everywhere where the shepherds went and tell everyone, but she could put these things in her heart and ponder them. Lastly, look at verse number 20. And the shepherds, we return here to the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We see that some celebrated the birth of Christ by glorifying and praising God. Glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and all of the things they had seen. Now listen. They returned to their fields and flocks praising God. Some people think that the only way they can live for God or serve God or have a spiritual impact is to go to college and become a minister or become a missionary or become a pastor or to write a blog or a book, or the only way they can have any kind of impact, spiritual impact, maybe to lead a ladies' seminar or a ladies' ministry. I've often reminded the church that your place of employment is your mission field. It is your field white unto harvest. Where you're going to be tomorrow, where you're going to spend 8 hours tomorrow, that is your mission field. That is your field white unto harvest. Look at your workplace as your congregation. Look at your workplace as your ministry. These shepherds go back to the sheep pens, glorifying and praising God. In fact, and this is a fact, God is more glorified, more pleased with you glorifying Him in your workplace than he is with many so-called ministers in their so-called churches. God is more pleased and glorified with you glorifying him in your workplace than he is in many churches with many so-called ministers. Go back to work tomorrow. Work hard, work honestly, and glorify God. And speak for him every open door that he gives you. And if he calls you beyond that, that is his will. But for right now, his will is that you glorify him where you're at. Sing a hymn. Well, at least hum a hymn. Sing a hymn or hum one. Post a scripture in your cubicle. Read your Bible at lunch. Prod sinners with the truth when you hear them speak their vanity and lies. Pray over your meal. Testify of his goodness, his mercy, his protection, his provision. Tell him how God has been good to you. How he answered your prayers. How he protected your family. How he provided for your need. Testify to those co-workers. Invite them to church. Give them a tract. Give them a Bible. Talk about the sermon. Walk holy. Talk holy. Be holy. There's so much that you can do to glorify God in your workplace. So much. And listen, you've got a mission field that I'll never get into. You know, we talk about mission fields around the world and how some countries are closed to missionaries. We talk about the gospel track, how that it can go where nobody else can go. Your workplace is your mission field. And those are people that I can't waltz into Fort Martin. And, you know, I can't do that. I'm sure they're going to check me at the gate. All right, they're not going to let me in. Your workplace is where you can glorify God. These shepherds went back to work, glorifying and praising God. And brother and sister, this is four ways that you can honestly, if you want to, celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. One, publish it abroad. And when you talk about his birth, that leads to the cross, it leads to the empty tomb. Number two, stand in holy wonder and awe. Number three, ponder these things in your heart. And number four, go back to work glorifying God. May God bless the teaching and preaching of his word this morning. May God bless his little flock at Bethaven. And may God help us to really, genuinely celebrate his birth in these ways. Let's pray.